Well, good morning. Again, my name is Steve Tomlinson. It's great to be with you. And as Sweena said, I want to give a word of thanks to Bansuk Korean Church, United Methodist Church, for hosting us today. It was only 2.5 weeks ago that the space contacted me and said, by the way, you can't meet here on the 21st. And I said, we're like your best customer. And I was very firm with them, but they said, we're so sorry, but you still can't meet there on the 21st. In the process, though, we have been praying and considering other possibilities for the Westbury campus to meet at. And in my journey of scootering all over Westbury, I came to this church and I met Pastor David Kim, who attended Shelter Rock Church Manhasset for a while as he was preparing and learning to be a senior pastor here. He greeted me with open arms, gave me a tour of the place, and turns out they are very open to being a long-term host of the Westbury campus. We would, in a long-term arrangement, most likely use the gym, which would need to have soundproofing and a few other things to take care of it. But there are empty classrooms which could be dedicated classrooms just for Shelter Rock Church Sunday School, and there would be the potential of midweek access for our various groups and even a place for Pastor Greg to hang his hat during the week. Now, all this is still being negotiated and it's a conversation, but if in your worship folder is this card where we want to hear from you, this is your first chance, you might say, to kick the tires. Coming here will save us more than one-third of the costs. Two-thirds of the costs to actually meet on Sunday mornings compared to what the space offers. Now, you can put this in this card in the offering basket after I'm done speaking, but you may say, hey, I didn't walk around yet. That's fine. You can hold on to that card after the service, walk around, visit the gym, which is over there, and that's where we have bagels and coffee. So out the door, bear to the left and then to the right, and you'll see the gym where it's all set up already for some snacks. Take a look, prayerfully consider. We want to be in the right place of God's choosing. And this church is praying, we're praying, and we're looking for that sweet spot that God has for us. And toward that end, we present this to Him. Why don't we open in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you that we have had this privilege today to come to a new location and on this beautiful day, and to appreciate that you have not forgotten us, that you love us, and that you are looking out for us. Now, Father, as we spend some time in your word on a very important passage, Lord, we pray that you would teach us through your Son about prayer and how we can pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible with you, would you open it now as together we look at Luke chapter 22, and look from verse 39 to 46. Again, Luke 22, 39 to 46. What we're going to be studying is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I've always appreciated this work by Heinrich Hoffmann, who painted this painting in 1890. Now, it's hard to see with the screen as it is, but it's this image of Christ looking towards heaven as he is praying, not my will, but yours be done. This very pivotal prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Why don't we take a look at this passage as Dr. Luke records it as we continue our travelogue with the doctor going through the Gospel of Luke. We read starting in verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and a sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to his disciples and found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Now, this prayer took place in what is called the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means wine press. And in a very metaphorical sense, Jesus is being pressed because of what is before him. Now, this prayer took place on the Mount of Olives. This place of prayer is commemorated by a church in the Holy Land called the Church of All Nations. You can see a picture of it, again, on the screen. That is the Mount of Olives behind the church is on a midpoint on the Mount of Olives. Just to the left of the church is an ancient olive grove, which some of the trees are upwards of 2,000 years old. Now, this next picture is actually from where Jesus would have been praying, except in the daytime, looking towards Jerusalem. Now, again, it's hard to see with the way the screen is, but that little gold piece up top, that is the Temple Mount. That's the Dome of the Rock as it stands there right now. So as Jesus is praying, he can oversee the campfires and the lanterns of Jerusalem, where in just a few short hours he is going to die. And so he is praying, overlooking the very place that he is going to suffer and die. And then this last picture is a picture of that olive grove as it remains today. Again, it's hard to see, but you see these massive tree trunks. And we're talking tree trunks about the size of this drum glass enclosure here, if you can just get the sense. And that's why they know these trees are so old. It's like these trees may have been a witness of history of what happened so long ago. And so Jesus, in his prayer, we have to recognize this is a unique and powerful prayer as he is approaching his death at Calvary. But as we look at the way Jesus prays and what he instructs his disciples, we learn some things about how we can pray, particularly if it's through a dark time in our life and we are just struggling under the pain and oppression. The first thing that I notice in Jesus' prayer is that Jesus prays with others and in solitude. He prays with others and in solitude. Look at verse 39 again. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And then he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. You know, there is something powerful when you're praying with other people. One of my favorite stories relating to the church that Pastor Frank once attended, and that is Brooklyn Tabernacle. If you ever read Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, he tells a story about his daughter Christy and how she had wandered from the faith. And we've had the privilege of having her be a guest speaker for our women's ministry here. But the point came in which all those closest to Jim Cimbala knew that he had this tremendous burden relating to the poor choices his child was making. And yet he didn't bring it up in prayer because he felt it was awkward or maybe inappropriate to pray for his own family. And then one day somebody handed him a note that, "Pastor, we need to pray for you." Ironically, the person who handed his note to him attends our Manhasset campus. But that note was, "We need to pray tonight for you." Pastor Cimbala said the room became like a labor and delivery room. And he says, just like a woman's labor is not a pleasant thing, but something beautiful comes from it. That prayer, with all God's people praying together, made a difference. And it was just 2 days later that his daughter returned home and said, "Daddy, what happened? What happened on Tuesday night?" And the truth was, you were being prayed for. Praying with a community of people is very powerful, and we recognize this. You know, just to tell you a quick story relating to today and this church and why we're even meeting here, is I was in the prayer meeting 2 weeks ago, and I felt that I need to search for a new location for Westbury. Lord, would you please give us a location that's affordable, attractive, and I'm going to get on my scooter. And then I thought to myself, I should have people pray for me. And I'm in the prayer meeting. It's the end of the prayer meeting. And I thought, I don't want to be intrusive. If Pastor Frank calls on me to close the meeting in prayer, I'll mention it. The moment I thought that, Pastor Frank said, "And Pastor Steve, could you close this meeting in prayer?" And I'm like, okay, that's my signal. And I said to the folks, would you pray for me? Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I'm going to search for a location, potential for the church. And those community of people, and some of our, like Sister Alma here, she really got into the prayer. And I come and I pull into the driveway of this church. The pastor knows me. And now, Pastor Steve, good to see you. And they're open. And I thought, you know what? That doesn't happen by accident. It happens when the Lord opens a door. And that's what community prayer. But take note, it says that Jesus went a stone's throw further. He went to a place where he could pray by himself. And the truth is, there is such a thing as the power of corporate prayer. But there is also such a thing as the power of individual private prayer. Now, why is that? It's because you can tell God what you really, really think. And by the way, if you're ever coy and afraid to tell God what's really going on in your mind, who are you kidding? He already knows what's going on in your mind. So you just pray it. And in that prayer in solitude is something that is useful for moving you and aligning your heart with God's heart. Now, in Jesus' case, unfortunately, his disciples, exhausted through sorrow, were not able to pray with him. They fell asleep. But the ideal he set out for of praying in community and in solitude is a principle that we can hold to right now to this day. The second thing I notice in this passage is Jesus' instruction to his disciples. He says to them, pray to avoid temptation. Verse 41, on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Now, one wonders, why is he saying this? Are there all sorts of potential sins that they could fall into? Well, the Greek word used for temptation just a few verses earlier is actually in verse 28 used to refer to trials. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, verse 28. So the connotation when he says, do not fall into temptation, don't fall into the kinds of things that you are going to be faced with in these next few hours. What are the things they're going to be faced with? The temptation to fall away. The temptation to give up faith. Do you ever have a circumstance in your life that things just spiral down to the point where you no longer have the faith to press on? I remember when my brother passed away, 2001. My mother, who taught me the Word of God all my life, I'm talking to her on the phone 1 week after my brother passed away, and she said, I now know when I lost my faith. I said, Mom, what do you mean you lost your faith? You're the one who taught me about Jesus. And she said, Steve, I believe in God. I just don't believe he cares about me right now. That's the cry of a mom who's buried her son. I'm thrilled to tell you that 1 month later, the Lord, through a supernatural event in her life, returned her faith. But that would be the example of what temptation that they're about to face. To say, Lord, I know that before me there is going to be temptation to throw in the towel, temptation to give up, temptation to fall away. Father, by your grace, I will not do that. Jesus instructs his disciples, pray that you will not yield when trials come into your life. And this is going to be one major trial. They're going to see the man that they followed for the last 3 years suffer and die. That was a very powerful and significant prayer. If you're facing a crisis in your life where you find your faith ebbing, it is a reasonable and good prayer to say, Lord, preserve me through this trial that I will remain faithful and follow you. The next thing I observe in this passage is this. Verse 44, pray earnestly. Pray earnestly. This is what we read. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, this is a verse only that Luke has. This is unique. And Luke, the physician, is taking notice of Jesus' physical condition. And you may wonder, what would be a physical condition where you would sweat drops of blood? Well, scholars take this one of two ways. One is that his sweat poured out like blood might pour out, in that it was just pouring profusely from him. Or And some of you ladies may have experienced this. If you go through a particularly difficult labor, you've heard women going through labor for 30 hours and all their blood vessels burst in their eyes and back and different parts of their body. It could be something like that because of the anguish that is taking place. There is a place in our lives where we pray earnestly. I was jogging last night and I was thinking, when is a time when I prayed that kind of earnest prayers? And the Lord brought me the memory, and I called the woman up and I said, could I share the story? And it's our sister from the Manhasset campus. Her name is Linda Mena. Her daughter Jessica, I believe she was 28 years old, was just coming out of rehab from heroin addiction. And we were all thrilled that she was freed from the addiction. She went out of rehab, and I think it was potentially like at an AA meeting or something. But the person who used to provide her the drugs contacted her during the meeting, and she met him, took the dose that she had before she was detoxed. Her body couldn't handle it, and she OD'd. She remained alive for 1 week, and Linda and I, she said to me last night, Pastor Steve, that week we bonded. Because I was trying to be at that hospital as much as I could. Linda never left. This is her daughter. And it was the week of earnest prayer. The truth is, we didn't know what God was going to do, but you know what? We're going to ask Him. In fact, this prayer was very much like the prayer of Jesus right now in this story. He's praying, Lord, if there is a possibility, if there is a means by which this does not have to take place, Lord, could it be? That is the prayer that Linda and I prayed that week as we prayed for Jessica, and Mom slept with her daughter on that hospital bed. But at the end of that week, she went home. She passed. And Linda and I have a bond because we spent that week in earnest prayer for her. There is such a moment in your life where you pray with everything you have, and Jesus was doing that. Now comes a very important element of what we learn from Jesus. Pray seeking God's will. We look in verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Pray seeking God's will. By the way, sometimes you don't have to ask God's opinion on the subject. You know why? He's already told you. Where has He told us? In our Bibles. So here's a prayer that, you know, you don't have to pray. Lord, should I have adultery with this person over there? You know, I'm really thinking about it. Victor, do you know the answer to that prayer? Yes, he does. Isn't that amazing? Do you know the answer to that prayer? Yes, it's amazing. Why do we know? It's in the Bible. No, we don't have to ask God's opinion on that particular subject. He's given it to us. But there are times where you don't know what college you're going to go to. Who am I going to marry? Should I say yes to this job opportunity? Those are all questions where you say, Lord, I don't want to pursue my will. I want to pursue your will. You know, when I was considering to come to this church, it was July 2002. I got a call out of the blue in Illinois, where I was pastoring as an associate pastor. Would you consider being our senior pastor on Long Island? And I'm like, I'm happy here. And I had to seek God's will. So I asked person after person. I inquired. And in the end, I saw clearly the Lord was saying, Steve, time to move. It's time for you to go. And the Lord opened the door. This week, today actually, a friend of ours, you guys probably know him. He was our regular drummer here in Westbury for quite some time, Edgar Meeks. He is preaching tonight at 5 o'clock at a church in Freeport because the Lord is calling him to be a minister of the gospel. And tonight is his ordination service. Now, I am so excited. We actually moved our congregational meeting tonight to 7 so I could have a chance to watch Edgar preach tonight, Edgar Meeks. I asked Edgar, I said, could I mention you today as a man who's seeking God's will? And he said, absolutely. He says, I love you folks, because he has a burden in his heart to possibly pastor at the same church his grandfather pastored in Texarkana, Arkansas.
And he's praying and he's waiting on God and he's like, Lord, I'll go where you lead. I'll follow in the place. He is doing what Jesus is doing. Lord, what's your opinion on this subject? What should I do? Pray according to God's will on any subject that is not delineated in his word. And he leads. Which brings me now to the next one here. Pray to resolutely fulfill God's will. Pray to resolutely fulfill.